enough of you called that I will go ahead with my ghost story. The morning of the day had come. In their own gesture of preparation, answer over King's House 1 now. In their own gesture of preparation, the Donovan family, along with the Warrens, drove to a nearby church and attended an 8 a.m. Mass. They then returned to the house at 9 and waited for the exorcist's arrival. Now, I'm reading from The Demonologist by Gerald Brittle, The Extraordinary Career of Ed and Lorraine Warren. I've been reading it all week and making you all mad because I can't finish. Do you realize how hard it is on me, a refined, clerical-looking individual like me, to just start reading something like this that would cause people to think I'm a nut? Now, I want to tell you going out the gate, I don't believe a word of this story, but I think it's true. It's absolutely the most unbelievable true story I've ever heard. It couldn't happen, and it did. I want you to know, this didn't happen in my church. To my members, this is Catholics. I mean, they got a long-standing reputation. Got to give them credit. I mean, they know how to take on the devil, and half the Protestants don't even know he exists. Now, these people, Ed and Lorraine Warren, are professional demonologists, and I think it's time somebody intelligently discuss the preternatural or the supernatural. They're pretty intelligent people. They are famous in an insider's circle. They are experts. Called in. Like, very few people know the man up by San Francisco that's been working for 5 years on the crystal skull. The museums know about him. He restores art and artifacts, and that's why he was chosen to examine the crystal skull. Now, when I started teaching on the crystal skull, you might have thought, well, that's four out. There are actually three of them. Two of them are well known. One's a museum in Britain. It's obviously a copy of this one. At least obvious to me. This one is the perfect one. And I didn't tell you the jawbone comes off. I mean, you know, the jaw, it's made in such a way that it can actually move its mouth. But I didn't talk about the crystal skull in Dallas, so I shouldn't get on it. Now, Ed and Lorraine Warren are recognized by insiders who deal with these phenomena as experts in the area of demonology and dealing with what some call supernatural, they call preternatural beings. They were the experts called in on the Amityville horror case, of which a lousy movie was made. They were called in at West Point in the 1970s. The commandant, the general, brought him to his quarters and told him about a ghost activity that they were asked to deal with. They're not nuts. And when I got on the subject, I sought long and hard for the starting point. I decided this is the starting point to teach on a subject that the Bible's full of, both the Jewish and Christian heritage, biblically, Old and New Testament, presume supernatural or extranatural or preternatural beings. Satan and a hierarchy of fallen angels, if you take the apocryphal books position, the offspring are included of those, quote, sons of men, or rather sons of God that mated with the daughters of men described in Genesis, demons and devil. And there are supernatural forces. Billy Graham just wrote a book about angels not too long ago. And there's a war going on, and we're caught between, and we're the prize. I'm in the business of giving credence to God's Word in a modern, intelligent world. I'm trying to open minds up. Don't explain all unexplainable things by reference to the supernatural. That's primitive. Don't explain all things you can't explain as having to have a natural explanation. That's diminutive. Don't close your mind either channels. Just let the research make its own path. And as I taught on the Bermuda Triangle, I'm not asking anyone to believe that every one of those strange disappearances were supernaturally caused. But there are too many strange things going on for any present natural explanation to suffice. I didn't ask anybody to immediately assume that the Great Pyramid was not a grave and that the inner passages were a prophetic pattern of the world and it's too cold in here. Not so much it's cold. You got a north wind blowing like a cyclone off of the... Turn the blower down. Turn it off. Plumb off. And then when it gets hot, turn it on again. Of course, I'll have some of you so numb in a few minutes you won't know the difference. But when it just keeps hitting right on, you got to take another look at the possibility it might be that pillar of witness in the midst and at the border of Egypt mentioned in Isaiah 19:19. I'm not asking anybody to believe in Atlantis. I am asking, why is there so much support for the theory, and why is it that science's best efforts have not been able to remove its claim for existence? And why rule it out? Because the pre-flood earth was much different than now, and where was the Garden of Eden? Why is it that every primitive society looks to a mountain as the place of God? And what about the canopy theory of the world that was? All these things, open your mind and see if you can't find God's Word is going to be verified everywhere you turn. And if you're going to be a Christian, you've got to either call it all a bunch of myths and you destroy the credibility of Scripture by incising or excising out the demon references. Jesus, you can't read the life of Jesus. You either have to say he was so limited in his intelligence, he thought they existed, or he was so crafty and let the end justify the means that he would treat certain sicknesses and certain happenings as though they were the result of demon possession because that was the shortest way, the shortest distance between where he was and where he wanted to go because everybody believed it. And you have a different kind of Jesus than the one the church represents. God incarnate in the flesh, God was in Christ, the basic claim of the church, and he went around casting out demons and offered as one of the reasons for his coming to break the back of that kingdom. Now, Old and New Testament's full of demonology. And there's a bunch of evidence in places other than movies like The Exorcist. And a lousy movie like Amityville Horror Story. What was behind those movies? Again, it's just too much to ignore it completely. And if science simply doesn't want to pay attention to it because it's unexplainable, and they have an a priori decision, it couldn't happen, therefore it didn't happen, that's diminutive thinking. I fought that all my life about the basis of the Christian faith. I fought it all through academic circles once I settled my faith. A resurrection couldn't occur. Therefore, it didn't occur. Therefore, anyone who says it did is either lying or a poor reporter. Because a resurrection couldn't occur. Therefore, it didn't occur. So anybody who says it did shouldn't be read. Because they're not credible. Because a resurrection couldn't occur. So anybody saying it occurs, you shouldn't listen to them. Because they're lying or poor reporters. Because they're reporting something that couldn't occur. And since it couldn't occur, it didn't occur. Anybody says it did, lying because it can't occur and didn't occur, and they shouldn't say it did. That's a tautology. You assume what you're going to say in the first statement, and everything flows from it. The Christian says it couldn't occur by any understanding of the world that we have. And if he made it happen, maybe our understanding's wrong. So let's expose ourselves to the evidence and see how we feel about it. Don't rule it out a priori. Now, I'm going to sound like a nut reading this, because this couldn't happen. It is absolutely an impossible occurrence that possibly occurred. Now, Ed and Lorraine Warren were called into a case, a very special case, where a 19-year-old girl in the family, through an innocuous instrument in everybody's view like a Ouija board, had started communing with an unseen spirit, asked him to manifest himself, and all hell broke loose for 60 days. Screams, yells, sounds like boards pulling off the wall, levitating of parts within the house, stones raining on it. They decided the only cure was to exercise. They didn't know what the cure was. They called. They went to see a monk who recommended Ed and Lorraine Warren. Ed and Lorraine Warren came, even took pictures of the happenings, which are in this book, and finally decided the only thing they could do was an exorcism. They were Catholics. Ed and Lorraine Warren worked as lay people with priests. They had to get permission from the church for the exorcism, because the church didn't want criticism in this case. The Exorcist was out as a movie, and there was a lot of attention to it. It demanded the verification of supernatural events going on, or at least those that would be credited as such, witnessed by a priest, one Father Jason, who came, certified it, the church authorized the exorcism, and the day of the exorcism, after 3 days fasting, the exorcist arrived. It was Father Rourke. Father Rourke was powerfully built and looked more like a stevedore than a man of the church. An intense, unsmiling priest dressed in a black... You want me to do this?
Yes, sir.
Do you realize you now have a pastor that every day keeps looking more like a freako? An intense, unsmiling priest dressed in a black short-sleeved shirt and white clerical collar. His attitude was all business. Yet he, along with many other priests, had prayed long and hard for the effectiveness of the exorcism he was about to perform. To skip closer to where we were. The exorcist began reading the rite of exorcism, having prepared the way and all the preliminaries. Spoken partly in English and partly in Latin, the rite consists of prayers, psalms, and pronouncements commanding the invading spirits to leave the premises. It took the exorcist more than an hour to read the entire ritual, with centuries, by the way, of traditional use in the Catholic Church. During that time, there was not a sound in the house other than the priest's voice. Save for the obvious destruction visible all around, it was as though nothing had ever happened there. You're not going to believe some things that happened. I showed him some pictures. That's the best review. These were pictures taken while Ed and Lorraine Warren were there undergoing, as third-party experts, what was going on. It's unbelievable, except the Warrens are believable. The bureau drawers in Ted and Ellen Dunneman's bedroom would open and slam shut of their own accord. More than once, when their son Brian slept on the floor in a sleeping bag, letting the Warrens have his room, the drawers would become active and slam him in the head. Let's look at this one. Well, this is a pretty good one right here. The day begins each morning when the Donovans woke up. The bathroom would be torn apart. The towels were often found stuffed in the toilet. Let's get this one. Part of the normal disarray was freshly made beds, now partly torn apart. Later each day, these bed linens would rise to the ceiling and fall back in a heap on the bed. The spirit, Patty Donovan, the 19-year-old girl contacted on the Ouija board, left mementos on her bed every night. Here it is teleported a door, removed a pocketbook from storage, and dumped garbage from the kitchen, bathroom, and laundry room on her bed. I tell you, I can't read it. I'm trying to warm up to it, but it's just too unbelievable. Ed Warren inspects the refrigerator, which has spontaneously been levitated away from the wall at a 90-degree angle.
Oh, I don't believe in levitation. What happened to the axe head that Elisha had come up from the bottom of the river?
The kitchen chair arrived atop the appliance courtesy of the same mysterious force. Well, I don't believe anybody can move that around. What in the world was Lucifer wrestling with Michael over the body of Moses for unless he could carry it? The kitchen chair arrived atop the appliance courtesy of the same mysterious force. Preternatural entities can manipulate the physical environment to terrorize their victims. Here, the kitchen table tips over as the Warrens watch. Take a picture of this. That reminds me of something. It reminds me of something. That chair, that table tipping over by some mysterious force. It reminds me of something. Yeah. Got so many things dangling. Got to finish them one of these days. October 21st, 1962. The Devil's Triangle 2 by Richard Weiner. We read that a few weeks ago. Let's try to put these side by side. Preternatural entities can manipulate the physical environment to terrorize their victims. Here the kitchen table tips over as the Warrens watch, as they were watching it. Now, I do not believe everything goes on in the Bermuda Triangle is preternatural, supernatural, or otherwise. I'm just asking the question, where's the abyss? And if Atlantis sunk, then one of the problems with Atlantis as the center of the pre-flood world was all these descendants of those fallen angels called watchers in the book of Enoch who had cohabitated with the women of this earth and produced those terrible offspring who became the wandering spirits to terrorize man. Well, they're all there. And where is the, quote, bottomless pit? That's not a New Testament word. The word's abyss. Nothing in the New Testament says it's bottomless. That's King James' attempt to try to say how deep an abyss is. Abyss just means real deep. Now, in the book of Revelations, Abaddon, he's the chief angel, demon angel, comes out leading all those locust demons. And they come forth from the deep. And that's where they're going. Put Satan, too, by the way. Now, if, you know, is there a possibility that some strange happenings in the Bermuda Triangle have more than natural explanation? What is that pyramid? What is that black mass? And what was that thing that Dr. Brown saw and swam in and pulled the crystal out of? And what about these happenings? Well, here, let's do this again, Peter.
preternatural entities can manipulate the physical environment to terrorize their victims. Here the kitchen table tips over as the Warrens watch. I said that before. Now, Richard Winer, The Devil's Triangle, October 21st, 1962, was the 50th wedding anniversary of Anthony and Emma Hessler of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. To celebrate, they took a 3-day cruise to Nassau aboard the SS Florida. The big white cruise ship sailed from Miami at about 5:15 p.m. on Friday, October 19th, holding hands. I tell you, just really pleased that I went to this story at this moment. Holding hands, the Hesslers stood at the rail on the promenade deck, looking back at the vessel's wake and the Miami skyline silhouetted by the late afternoon sun. The sky was cloudless. The sea was flat, calm. The only wind was that created by the ship's movement. Clear, calm day. At approximately 7 o'clock, the Hesslers sat down at their table in the dining room for their evening meal. They had just been served their soup and salad when suddenly Emma Hessler found herself sitting on the deck covered with her food. Trays of food were flying across the room. Chairs, tables, food, and people were sliding across the dining room. The ship had suddenly listed 45 degrees to the port. Then, slowly, very slowly, and that's where I left that one, I remember, last time. Now, you know, just all relative. Little table, big ship. Preternatural entities can manipulate the physical environment, terrorize their victims. Here the kitchen table tips over as the Warrens watch. You say, is that what happened in the Bermuda Triangle? I don't know. We're all trying to find out together. What I said. In the basement, a bottle of Coca-Cola is levitated. You say, oh, trick photography. Well, that's what I say. I agree with you. It has to be. This absolutely couldn't happen, but it did. Throughout the house, bottles would rise into the air, their caps unscrewed by themselves, and the contents would spill. The hi-fi amplifier at the left was part of the second sound system to be destroyed by the infesting entities. There it is. This is one just blows me away. This couldn't happen. When this picture was taken, the recreation room sofa cushions had just been dematerialized. A few hours later, they were found in the closet. Couldn't happen. I'll bet you a dollar, good old American dollar, and God we trust. That's exactly what the Ethiopian eunuch thought. When there was Philip 1 minute, and he's gone. Bang! Dematerializing. Or moved so fast that he got that impression. And he appears in Jerusalem. That's where you get the word rapture. Nowhere to say the rapture is going to, the church is going to occur. We're going to be caught up. So they borrow from Acts where Philip, it says, was raptured, caught away from the Gaza Strip to Jerusalem. Yeah, I'm ruining my church. There won't be anybody in the church Sunday. Nobody come to hear a man read a book like this. Furniture levitating during a demonic rampage in the basement recreation room. This one is the other one that blows me away. I don't believe this. I absolutely don't believe this. They had to carry all this down there and stage it. In Lorraine Warren's presence, Brian Donovan's bedroom doors dematerialized. They were later found on the cellar stairs as photographed. These dematerializations would happen in absolute silence. Physical objects would simply be there 1 minute, gone the next. Here, the shoes on the floor had been in storage and for some strange reason were placed in this ostensibly walking position. Recreation room lamp being levitated. There's no way this... Sure glad it's Halloween. Maybe I'll be forgiven. That's what had been going on when Father Rourke arrived. The concluding act of the exorcism is an outright command for the spirit to reveal its identity. With everyone standing in a wide circle in the middle of the living room, Father Rourke read in a deep, somber voice, "I command thee, thou unclean spirit, O serpent of old, by the judge of the living and the dead, by the creator of the world who hath the power to cast into hell." Don't you remember when Jesus walked around? Read the littlest gospel, Mark, everywhere he went. Ran into demons and they'd cry out, "We know who you are. Are you come to trouble us before our time? You going to send us to the abyss before our time?" They recognized he had the power to do it. That's what this exorcism rite is saying. By the judge of the living and the dead, by the creator of the world. You say, well, was it? God created the world, not Jesus. The book of Hebrews says Jesus was the creative agency. First chapter. By the creator of the world who hath the power to cast into hell, tell me thy name or give some sign and depart forthwith from this house. The priest waited for a full moment. Nothing happened. You better have confidence in yourself when the first shot didn't work. Obviously displeased that his words had been ignored, Father Rourke read the command once again in a loud, booming voice, adding even more threatening phrases. I don't know why he didn't get more Christian. Set an example before this alien entity. I mean, he doesn't sound very Christian. Christians don't talk this way. I enjoin you under penalty, every unclean spirit, each devil, each part of Satan, begone in the name of God. Yield to God. It is not men you're disobeying. God the Father commands you. God the Son commands you. God the Holy Spirit commands you. Hear therefore and fear Satan, enemy of the human race, source of death, root of evil, seducer of men, cause of discord, creator of agony. He's laying it on him. Dear brother, behold, the cross of the Most High God, I command thee, obey and be gone. Tell me thy name or give some sign and depart from this dwelling. Suddenly, why are those lights on? The music set. Not dark enough in here. Do you know how to tell them what to turn off? Why is it so light in here? There's another one back there. Why is that on? Lou, turn Lou off. Yeah. Suddenly. Tell me thy name or give some sign and depart this dwelling. I can tell you who's scared in here. They're going to start trying to fool themselves and God by humming and howling and moaning. You can always tell the little boys in the crowd. Tell me thy name or give some sign and depart from this dwelling. Suddenly Ellen Donovan cried up, "There, by the fireplace!" As... This is exactly where I was last night. I remember. It's exactly where I was last night, isn't it? Another book, Oddities, a book of unexplained facts. goes through every possible explanation of that crypt that had the dancing caskets in it, remember, in Barbados. Now, if you want probably the fullest critical discussion of it you can find, Oddities, A Book of Unexplained Facts by Rupert T. Gould. And you would think I only read one side of the issue. Charles J. Cazot and Stuart D. Scott, Jr., Exploring the Unknown, Great Mysteries Reexamined. Go back. That was the worst focus I ever saw on a book. Exploring the Unknown. Charles J. Cazot and Stuart D. Scott. He spends an awful lot of time. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
Frustrating you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. 271 is concentrated on marine mysteries in that section. The Bermuda Triangle. The lore of the triangle. In 1950, the Sandra, a 350-foot freighter, sailed from Miami for Savannah. I'll get back to that. It's all related, you know. There, 300 tons of insecticide were loaded on board, destined for Puerto Cabello, Venezuela. Pulling out from that Georgia port, the Sandra chunked confidently toward South America. She furrowed the Atlantic waters into rippling channels as she cleared port. It was the last sight of her ever caught by man. Not a trace of her was ever found. And he does a very thorough job of reporting. He outlines a map of the Bermuda Triangle. You can see the Sargasso Sea, the Sargasso Sea. He has pictures of the Avenger torpedo bombers that are exactly like those of Flight 19 that disappeared. Real thorough discussion. The big Martin Mariner that was lost while it was searching for the torpedo bombers. And then we never did finish this story. This ore carrier is the USS Cyclops, one of the most noted disappearances in the triangle. Remember, we were on the Cyclops with that one-eyed captain striding the bridge. Dust discusses all the theories and then tries to conclude that there's a rational explanation is the best one. The only thing is, he just leaves me cold. He does pick a few that there might possibly be a rational explanation for. Too many of them unexplained. Now, what I was digging for is the new shop. What's the matter with you? You want me to finish that? But I need to lay all this theology down. I mean, this is a respectable book, the new Schaff Herzog Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge, Volume 3, Chaumier to Dreindorf. It's like demons should fall and devils should fall between Chaumer and Dreindorf. Anybody knows that and knows how to say the alphabet. My Lord, you got to go past Deaconess before you get there. Denmark, development, and devil. Devil. Old Testament teachings, New Testament teachings. Popular notions, Luther, modern views. Where's demon? Oh, demon comes before descent, that's it. Deism, Delitzsch, there it is. Demetrius of Alexandria. Demon, demonism. Now look at there. One, background of demonology. All of these are circled scripture verses. Can't you stay on this page? Come on. See the circles? Are you close enough? Scripture passages supporting it. The nature of demons
And if I have my good friends of the Jewish faith watching, they know that for centuries, Shema, Hear, O Israel, of Deuteronomy 6:4, is cried out as protection against demons and their faith. The Hebrew, Se'irim and Shedim, the various words being translated demon. And the King James and some of the authorized versions are so crazy, they talk about he-goats. They translate one of the words as he-goats. In the margin, they put satyrs. It's more like Dan, the conception of a hairy goat-like creature. Monsters, night monsters. Another word is Liluth, night monsters. You know, we have one word, demon and devil, but there's a host of words throughout Scripture that lays out this hierarchy, circled Scripture verses, other Hebrew demonic conceptions. Luther, I'm telling you, demoniac. Jewish and New Testament demonology, New Testament ideas concerning demoniacs, symptoms of possession, exorcism by Jesus, exorcism in the early church, exorcism by the Jews, modern explanations. Now, I was going to read all this. When I picked it up, I saw your wrathful face, and I decided I'd just do a quick scan like that. I'm not out in left field. This is one of the most ancient of religious issues. And I'm going to tell you, the person that came forth exactly represents one of the root meanings in the ancient Hebrew designation of devil. But I'm going to show you what comes forth in that. You're going to think it's a joke. Well, maybe the joke has some bases. And by the way, Holy Blood, Holy Grail. The Great Lady of Maraclea. That's not what I'm really after. The Templars, a persistent rumor of the Templars was that they worshipped a being. And when I get back to Holy Blood, I'm boring you. To Holy Blood, Holy Grail, you're going to find, you know, you got to gestalt all of these, see the connection. They worship a being identical in form and shape in some of their strange rites as what is going to be seen right here. I mean, as you keep crossing, who made that mess? Is there a demon loose in here? Tell me thy name and give some sign or depart from this building. Suddenly, Ellen Donovan cried out, there, by the fireplace. Oh, you're making fun of me now, huh? Suddenly, Ellen Donovan cried out, there! We've lost the continuity. He's exercising. Hear therefore and fear Satan, enemy of the human race, source of death, root of evil, seducer of men, cause of discord, creator of agony. Behold the cross of the Most High God, I command thee, obey and be gone. Tell me thy name or give some sign and depart from this building. Suddenly, Ellen Donovan cried out, there, by the fireplace. This is where we were, isn't it? How bad do you want me to continue? You tell me. You say to me, I'm getting tired of you doing this. I'm getting tired of you bringing this tension on me and making me wait. What do you think you did to me for my budget last weekend? I'm getting tired of that too. Tell me thy name or give some sign and depart this dwelling, the exorcist said. Suddenly, Ellen Donovan cried out, turn the lights out. I was ready and my engineers did it this time to us. Tell me thy name or give some sign and depart from this dwelling. Suddenly, Ellen Donovan cried out, there! Go to the fireplace! Now I'm going to get serious. Because this is serious. As its manifesting visage slowly became clear, it was evident to all who witnessed the thing that its head was horned, it stood on cloven feet, and it had a tail. Now that immediately gives the impression of bunk. And don't anybody overreact in here. I doubt seriously that anybody... Did I get everybody off the phone yet? Because I hear voices. Everybody's got to get off the phone. Otherwise, I'll get killed. I doubt seriously that Jesus looks like most people view him. On the good side, if you were raised in Sunday school and saw pictures of Jesus and God's Son desires to manifest himself in a recognizable way to you in a vision, he probably will look like you are programmed to perceive him. Now, I'm going to anticipate the explanation of the priest. Whether Satan looks like that funny paper imagery or not, it would be his technique to manifest himself that way in order to discredit the story. He's smart enough to know if he manifests looking that way, it will tend to place the manifestation in a discreditable position. And I agree with the Catholic priest, that's probably what happened. However, one of the ancient names of Satan is a description of that kind of horned being. Likewise, I already told you, the Holy Blood, Holy Grail, they worship a creature of that nature, plus another one very close to Dagon of the ancient Philistine rite and their god. And by the way, has anybody ever wondered if there's possibly a connection between Dagon and Dogon? And that's another subject. Because the one who revealed to them certain things at one time was supposed to be half fish, half man, and from the land of the fishes, and looked just like the ancient Philistine god Dagon. Now there's one we haven't talked about. That's another subject. As its manifesting visage slowly became clear, it was evident to all who witnessed the thing that its head was horned. It stood on cloven feet and it had a tail. At the same time, the temperature in the room dropped to near freezing, while the stomach turning smell of rotting flesh filled the air. Father Rourke commanded, "Begone in the name of God." The spirit instantly vanished.
This is the end of Side 1. For the rest of the teaching, please turn the tape over for Side 2. Thank you.